All right, Genesis chapter 19. The chapter that we shall now consider is one that deals with a city and its destruction. It's a city that's mentioned numerous times throughout the Holy Scriptures, and therefore being mentioned as many times as it is, it would do us well to seek the Lord's direction, guidance, understanding concerning the meaning, what's being set forth concerning the city of Sodom and its destruction. Truly, Sodom was without a doubt, it was a wicked city. The scripture reveals that it was a city given over to vile affections, whereby men and women left the natural use of nature and burned after the unnatural. Women with women, men with men. But though Sodom and the cities of the plain in that area were shown to be, according to God's word, wicked cities, that wickedness revealed to be more than just the natural wickedness of which we're all aware, but the wickedness of Sodom, now listen, get what I'm going to try to say right here. Because we're going to be dealing with this chapter, and we got to remember this. Sodom is a spiritual picture. It's a type of man's total depravity, this world's carnal, depraved, man-centered, God-hating, false religion, and the different denominations of all that have sprung forth as a result of man's fall in the garden. Remember that. Sodom is a picture. It's a type of this world and man's depravity, false religion. Now, just as the unnatural union of men with men and women with women cannot produce life. Two men cannot produce life. Two women cannot produce life. So also, that which Sodom pictures is that false religion of this world. Again, that man-honoring, God-dishonoring message that promises life with God by man's works, but it's a lie. It's deceptive. It's not natural. It's not natural to the old man, natural to the carnal man, but not to the things of God. It's another gospel. It's not the truth by which God's Spirit powerfully imparts life. Now, the significance of hearing the gospel, the truth of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, listen to what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said to the church at Galatia. He said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let God send him to hell." A man dies, woman dies, in unbelief of Christ, Christ crucified, as he set forth in the gospel of God's will and purpose to save a people of his choosing. to proclaim a false gospel and die in unbelief. Let him be accursed. There's one gospel, one truth set forth that God's going to bless. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and salvation. So, with this foundational truth set forth that that wicked Sodom sets forth, this carnal world, this fallen world, its hatred of God, its love for a lie, its love for that which is dishonoring to God. With that underlying issue, this is what Sodom sets forth. This is what it's all about. This is why God destroyed it. Because they didn't believe God. With that, then let's consider this chapter. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we'll abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. Now these two angels, we've watched them through these last few chapters. We saw them when they came in chapter 2 before. And they were with the Lord. They met Abraham. You remember the conversation they had when Sarah was inside the tent and she heard the Lord say, I'll come the time of life this next year. Sarah's going to have a child. She laughed in her heart. The Lord asked Abraham, why'd she laugh? You know that. And then now they've come to this point. Abraham has besought the Lord for Sodom, for the sake of the righteous. He was, he was seeking the Lord's mercy for the righteous. He knew Lot was there. And asked the Lord, the 50, 45, 40, down to 10. Now these two angels have now turned their face and they've headed to Sodom. And here they are. They've come in. A sent of God for the accomplishing of God's will. His will being set forth as the complete destruction of Sodom because of their wickedness. Now remember what Sodom pictures. And also, they've sent there for the deliverance of Lot and his family. All according to God's mercy. Here's what's set forth with these two angels coming into Sodom. God is a just God. And God's a Savior. Now that's the first two things that we see. And they've come to Sodom and they meet Lot. And he's sitting in the gate of this city. And here's an amazing thing. The path of both the angels and Lot ordained to cross at this moment for the glory of God and salvation of Lot takes place. Now, Lot was set forth in the Scriptures. Turn to 2 Peter 2. Verse 4 to 7. 2 Peter 2. Let me tell you what the Scripture says about Lot. And we're going to remember this now. Remember, what is Sodom? It's a picture of this world. Fallen. Cursed. Cursed of God. False religion. This world and its carnality. And where is Lot? He's in Sodom. Where are we? We're in this world. And here was Lot's state. 2 Peter 2, verses 4 to 7. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, what does the Scriptures reveal about Lot? Lot was a believer. I looked that word up. It didn't just mean he just delivered Lot. No, it means he delivered just, upright, righteous, virtuous Lot. Found in Christ. Obviously, Lot had been with Abraham. Abraham believed God. And obviously, Lot had heard the gospel, I'm sure, through Abraham. But this just man, one justified by the righteousness of Christ imputed to him, was like all vessels of God's mercy in this world. Men, frail creatures of dust, earthen vessels that are prone to stumble. And Lot was not an exception. He was a believer. Just Lot. He's in Sodom. He's found sitting in the gate of a wicked city. And the Scripture says concerning Lot that his righteous soul was vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Again, he was in that city. He wasn't of that city. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And sadly, this is the place that Lot thought that he wanted to be when strife erupted between Abraham and Lot's herdmen. Abraham, you know, told Lot to dispel the strife. He said, now you take what you want. Whatever you take, I'll take the other. You go right, I'll go left. You go up, I'll go down. You go whichever way you want to go, you go that way. You take what you want. Scripture says in Acts 13, 10, 11, and Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, why was he in Sodom? Because that's where he wanted to be. That's where he wanted to be. You know, we've got a lot of love for this world still in us. We've got a lot of desire. We realize more and more, the older we get, the more we realize this world's not our home. It's a shame that it takes years and years and years and trials and troubles and tribulations and strugglings and chastisements to realize, but we're realizing it more and more. We realize that this ain't what I thought it was going to be. This ain't what it was cracked up to be. But mercifully, the Lord has sent two angels to rescue Lot. That's why they're there. They're there to destroy that city. Oh, but they're there to rescue Lot. How gracious is the Lord who loves His own, who delivers His own for His glory and the good of His sheep. You know, where was Lot found? He was found sitting in the gate and two angels crossed his path. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered. They're established by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. That is, the Lord delights in the way that He directs His own because He loves them. He loves them. Psalm 18:19, He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighteth in me. So Lot was where God mercifully directed him. And at the appointed time, Lot saw these two angels. He rose up to meet them. And he respectfully bowed, not in a worshipful manner, but in a civil and a kind way. And he invited them to come and tarry with him at his home. And he offered them gracious hospitality. That's a mark of a believer. Romans 12 verses 10 to 13. The Scripture says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And that's what he did. The Lord put it in his heart. Invite these two angels. He didn't know who they were, but they were men that he was given a heart to come stay with me. Come over to my house. And the Scripture says when he first invited them to come in, they refused. He said, nay, we'll stay all night out in the street, you know, possibly to bestow, maybe in the eyes of Lot, that spirit of modesty, but more so probably openly refused giving Lot that opportunity to show and to express the heart that he had to truly want them. He pressed them. No, I want you to come in. They knew, the angels knew why they were there. Lot didn't know why they were there, but the Lord moved Lot to do what he did, to invite them to come in. But they were there for him. The Lord sent them for him, and then put in Lot's heart, come to my house. That's where they were going. So there they were. Bob 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people of their quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now here we see the indescribable depth of man's depravity. This is this world. This is all men in this world. This is the world and its false religion. This is it. Here it is, right here. Here's the picture. Depravity that is marked for God's judgment. Marked for God's judgment. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. The Scripture says, I'll read 5 to 7. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now here's what they're doing. Here comes these men. They come and before they lay down for the evening, they're in Lot's house. And here comes these men, young and old. And they're coming into that, coming in. They surround Lot's house. They start hollering at him, telling him, Where's the men that came in? You know, that came into your house. I want you to send them out, you know, that we might know them, that we might wickedly have them. But listen, here's what got me. And verse 4, before they lay down, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, There's no place in this world that sin hasn't totally polluted mankind. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All, old and young, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6 sets forth. This is man. This sums up man right here. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. They're sick. Man is born sick. And what these men are setting forth in type, desiring that unnatural, that's man by nature against God. And the Scripture says in verses 6 to 9, "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you..." Now listen to this. Listen to the civility of this man. He's being civil about it. "I pray you, brethren..." I remember Brother Scott, somebody asked him, you know what I'm going to say here. Brother Scott would call so-and-so, "Well, Brother so-and-so." Somebody said, "Well, why do you call him brother? How do you know he's a believer?" Well, Scott said, "Well, he's either my brother in Adam or Christ, one of the two." He said, "I'll catch him. If I miss him in one, I'll catch him in the other." That's what he's saying. "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." They said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn." What they're saying is, saying to Lot, "Look, you ain't from around here. You're a foreigner. You came in from the outside here. And what, now you're going to make yourself a judge over us? Now we'll deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Now, it's hard to imagine, and just listening to what Lot said, it's hard to imagine the spirit in which he said it. He pled with them. He pled with them. Pled with them as a man to a man. One that was born in the depth of depravity just like they did. They were. One, but for the grace of God, was just like them. And so he's appealing to them. "I pray you, brethren, don't do this. Don't do so wickedly." Now here they were. Again, that picture of that unnatural hungering for that which is ungodly. That picture of false religion. Going after that, what they think is truth, that has no life to it. But it's wickedness. It's wicked. That's what God calls it. You know, we talk about somebody, well, they don't believe the gospel, but I think they're sincere. The Scripture says it's wickedness under the judgment of God. Let him be accursed. I mean, we put way too much, give too much credit to a lie. Do not so wickedly. And what he did was, he told them. He said, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as good in your eyes. Now, I read, every commentator that I've read did one of two things in dealing with that verse 8. And I will be the first to make and first to admit, and I'll say this openly, and I'll say this to whoever's listening to this tape on the internet. I absolutely am not condoning the anything that would naturally be said concerning, you know, just giving over your kids. I'm not condoning sin. I'm not, but I want to set forth something here. I want you to remember something. Sodom is a picture. Sodom is a type. Sodom is a picture of this world and its wickedness and hatred toward God. And what Lot is doing right here is also a picture and a type. I was going to say, most all the commentators I read, they did one of two things with this Scripture. Either they ignored it, or they just let Lot have it and blasted him and said that was totally out of line. Totally out of line. Okay. Well, what does that have to do with the gospel? That's my question. That's where I was left, Neil. I was thinking, now what am I going to do with this? You think the Spirit of God put that verse in there for nothing? So we could look at Lot and say, boy, you'd never catch me doing that. You'd never catch me turning one of my own over to somebody like that. I'd never do that. You know, well, now be careful. I'll get into Phariseeism now if I'm not careful. Looking at Lot. I'm glad I'm not like other men are. Lot, what he did was he set forth the purity, the harmlessness, the virtue that these two daughters pictured. He said, I have two daughters. Would you desire? He didn't bring them out there. He said, I would. Here's what he said. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Would you desire to see that which is virtuous? Would you desire to see that which is pure? Have not known man? Would you desire? Let me ask you this. When a preacher stands up to preach the gospel of God's grace, is he not in truth setting forth what Lot did here in picture? Would you desire that you behold Christ? Would you desire to see Him which is holy, harmless, without sin, precious, the only begotten Son of God? Would you desire Him? Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you about the Lamb of God. Let me tell you about Him that knew no sin, that was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Let me tell you about Him. Would you desire Him? Would you have a... They said, stand back. Don't. You stand down, Lot. We'll not have this. You're not a judge over us. And we're going to deal worse with you. You don't keep your mouth shut. That's what they're saying. They came near to break the door. What they did was they rejected Lot's earnest plea concerning him setting forth before them purity and that which was right and virtuous, a picture of setting forth the glorious Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And man by nature will say, I'll not have that man rule over me. You stand down. The Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, if the world hates you, you know this, that it hated me before it hated you. What they did to Lot when he pled with them, brethren, don't do this. How many of you have those in your family, neighbors, or whatever, that you would, in your heart, this is what you say, don't do this. Don't go after that false lie. Don't go after that false Christ. Don't go after that which that has no life. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let me set forth the glory of Him that's pure and holy and righteous. He that is well-pleasing in the sight of God. But man, left to himself, will not have it. So I say, asking the Lord, if I'm wrong here and err here, Lord, reveal it to me. And I'll retract it. But it seems to me that there's a whole lot in that picture and type of what is done when we're setting forth the gospel and the reaction of the world toward it, but for the grace of God. They didn't want that. They didn't want that which was pure. They didn't want that which was virtuous. They didn't want that. I don't want that. No, I want the unnatural. I want that which is rebellious. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. That's what they love. That's what I want. That's what I want. And the Scripture says in verses 10 and 11, and the men put forth their hand, the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them, shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Nothing less than the power in that situation right there of those two angels saved Lot from the ravages of that mob, but just nothing less than the power of God Almighty can save a man from the wickedness of himself and his sin. They rescued Lot and they pulled him into the house and shut the door just as God did Noah before the destruction of this world by water. And when the men of that city pressed upon Lot, when they refused his plea, the angels justly smote the men with blindness that sets forth that state of man if God leaves him to himself. Romans chapter 1, I'll close with this. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 28. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not convenient. Though they were blind, Scripture says they wearied themselves to find the door. They were blind to the things of God, blind concerning God's goodness, mercy, compassion, still in their blindness, given over to blindness. They wearied themselves, still desiring those evil desires to get to the men. And this, here's the thing we know. God's judgment doesn't change the corrupt nature. It takes an act of God's power and mercy, the removing of an old heart. God's going to have to take that heart out and give a new heart, a new mind. He's going to have to impart His Spirit. He's going to have to create from above a new man. And when He does, that man will then see with new eyes. He's going to hear with new ears. He's going to speak with a new mouth. He's going to have a new desire. These men, this is man. Men of Sodom, that's man born in Adam. That's Adam. That's the fall right there. If you want to know what it is, this is the fall right here. If you want to know any hope of salvation, God's going to have to send His Spirit and rescue the objects of His mercy out of the depth of depravity and save them from themselves. And He will. If He's pleased to do so, He will. For His glory and our good. Amen.